Revelation chapter number 5. As I was reading through Revelation this last time, a few months ago, there was a recurring theme that the Lord kept bringing to my attention throughout the book of Revelation, and it was a theme that really I hadn't seen in so many places before, and really, through that, the Lord had brought that to mind, and as I was preparing for this message tonight, I was looking back again through those different passages of this recurring theme. In one passage particular, there were three specific words that really jumped out at me and really is the backbone of our message here tonight. And we find our text beginning in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 1. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in earth, which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever.'" And right there in that verse number 2, the three words, really is the title of my sermon tonight, is "Who is worthy?" And really the theme of this chapter in this book is about who is worthy. And we'll see in just a minute who is worthy, and I'm sure all of us here know the answer. But the question was asked there, who is worthy? And when I read those words, that question just jumped out at me and really grabbed a hold of my attention. And, you know, that question can still be asked today. Who is worthy? And here at first, the question was specifically asked in regards to who is worthy to open this book. But as we read through the chapter, we find that this is someone who is worthy of so much more. Someone who is worthy of all the hosts of heaven worshiping. And the answer to that question, as we find in verse number 5, is the Lamb of God. It says, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Who is worthy? The question can be asked again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And I'd like us to ask us that question again tonight. Who is worthy? Not in the intellectual assent or acknowledgement or understanding of, yes, Jesus Christ is worthy. But that soul-transforming vision of Jesus Christ as the one who is worthy of our all. Now, as I was reading, through the book of Revelation, I saw this theme of this worshiping, these scenes of worship of this Lamb who was worthy. And if you go back to chapter 4, we see this throughout the book of Revelation there. And in verse number 8, we'll begin there. It says, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now turn with me a few chapters over to chapter number 7, Revelation chapter number 7. And beginning in verse 9, it says this, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Now turn with me over another few chapters to chapter 11. And beginning in verse number 15, it says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." And we can go on there and read similar words. And turn one more chapter over to chapter 12. And we read in verse 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down into you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." So there again we see, and you know, the verses 10 and 11, this worship of the Lord. Then turn over to chapter 14. And beginning of verse 1, it says, "And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God to the Lamb." Then turn over with me to chapter 15. And beginning in verse number 2. It says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." Now turn with me a few more chapters to chapter 19. Revelation 19, and beginning in verse 1. It says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now, I know it took some time to read through those passages, but I wanted all of us to get a sense of the glory, of the majesty, of the worthiness of Jesus Christ, of the Lamb that was slain, and the worship that will be taking place. And, we think of Revelation as, you know, having a lot of prophecies and, you know, some things difficult to understand sometimes. But really, one of the themes that we see through the book of Revelation is worthy is the Lamb. And, tonight, first of all, I'd like us to once again ask and answer that question. Who is worthy? Worthy is the Lamb. Also, 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 15. Here we see in the prayer of Hezekiah that Jesus Christ alone, that God alone is worthy. He alone is God. And in 2 Kings 19 and verse 15. Here he prays, "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord God and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth." Now, in answering the question of who is worthy, yes, Jesus Christ is worthy, but I'd like us also to see that he alone is worthy. You know, we can answer that question intellectually about, you know, who is worthy. Jesus Christ is. But practically, how does our life answer that question? Does our life manifest that Jesus Christ alone is worthy? You know, sadly today, so many things detract from the worthiness of Jesus Christ. So many things distract us, get us off track, that consume us. And they may not necessarily be bad things, but they draw us away from the worthiness of Jesus Christ. Now, not only do we see the question of who is worthy, but also we see why he is worthy throughout these passages here in Revelation and elsewhere. And so let's go back to Revelation chapter number 4. So why is he worthy? Well, in Revelation 4:11, we see that he is worthy because he is our creator. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You know what? He is the one who's created us. Our purpose of our life isn't for ourselves. A purpose of our life is Jesus Christ, because he is worthy. He's the one who has created us. He's the one who deserves our full devotion, our worship, our love, because he has created all things, including you and me. We also see that he is worthy in Revelation 5 and verse 9. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why? For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You know what? Jesus Christ is worthy because he has redeemed us with his blood. We are his blood-bought children. Think about that great sacrifice, the great price that was paid on your behalf, on my behalf. And think of who we are. That Jesus Christ would shed his blood for us, sinful men. And we know our weaknesses. We know how frail we are. How, you know, really worthless we are to God. And yet he bought us with his blood. The Romans 5 tells us that for a good man, I'll just turn there and read the verse. Yeah. Romans 5 and verse 7, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And you know, there it's giving the picture of one giving their life on behalf of someone else. And here it says, you know, even for a righteous man, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. And you know, you can think of our soldiers in the military, and you know, perhaps, you know, they're so loyal that they will, you know, obey their commander to the death, and they'll die on the behalf of their friends just to save their lives. But think about who it is that Jesus died for. Jesus, from the glory of heaven. Think of that song, "Thou dost leave thy throne and thy kingly crown." And he came to this earth to be humble, to die for mere sinners, for us who are so unworthy. And because of that, that should cause us to realize, you know what? Jesus Christ is more than worthy of my love. Jesus Christ is worthy because he has redeemed us with his blood. And 1 Corinthians 6:20, we see that same truth. It says there, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and our spirit, which are God's." You know what the fact is that we have been bought. We have been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, he is worthy. He is worthy of our all. Also, we see that he is worthy because he is on the throne. And let's turn to back to Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 13. It says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." You know what? Jesus Christ is enthroned right now in heaven, signifying his triumph over the grave, over the enemy Satan, over sin, and his victory over the enemy. And Jesus Christ has already won the victory, and he is now enthroned in heaven on the right hand of God. And he is worthy because of his position. He is victorious. He has won on our behalf. He has won the victory on our behalf. Also, we see in Revelation 15 and verse 4 that he is worthy because he alone is holy. We read this passage earlier, but Revelation 15 and verse 4 says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." You know what? Jesus alone is holy. Not man, not some hero, not some presidential candidate. You know, they're not the ones who are going to deliver us, but Jesus Christ is. For he alone is holy. You know what? Jesus Christ is worthy. And you know what? I just listed a few things there, but the list could go on and on of why Jesus Christ is worthy. But here in the book of Revelation, those are some of the clear ones that we see. He is our Creator. He has redeemed us. He is on the throne. He alone is holy. So as we have seen that question, who is worthy, and we've seen why he is worthy, lastly, that brings us to focus on of what he is worthy. Of what Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain, is worthy. Well, back in Revelation chapter 5, we see, first of all, that he is worthy of our worship. Look there in verse number 9. It says, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying, Worthy is the Lamb to receive, a Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." We see there that Jesus Christ is worthy of worship. Down again in verse 13, it says, "And I heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Back in chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." So we see that, first of all, that Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. You know, the scene that we see in the book of Revelation is continual worship taking place around the throne of God, around the throne of the Lamb. And we see that this is the joy of the saints, is to worship Jesus Christ, the one who has redeemed them. You know what? This is what we're going to be doing in all of eternity, is worshiping Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain. And you know what? Even more so here below, Jesus Christ deserves our worship. Now, sadly, I'm afraid some Christians, when they get to heaven, are going to feel rather out of place, because all they're going to be doing up there is worshiping Jesus Christ. And Christians who never do that on earth aren't really going to be prepared for what's coming ahead of them. And we see that that is going to be the joy of the saints. And we see there the different words describing the worship given to him. It's he is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. You know what? Obviously, Jesus Christ already possesses those things. But the fact is that through our life, we can give him honor and glory. Let me ask you tonight, does your life bring glory to Jesus Christ? Does it bring honor to him? You know what? It's a shame when those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, when their lives bring shame to the name of Jesus Christ, when their lives fail to measure up to the standards of God's word, that would be fitting of a life that would bring glory to God. And, you know, that's why it's so important that we take sin seriously. Because sin doesn't bring glory to God. It brings glory to Satan. You know, one of the main ways that we can worship God, obviously, is with our lips, with our mouth, and the words we speak. And let me ask you this. Are those around you aware that you worship the God of heaven? You know, those people that perhaps maybe you work with or that you come into contact on a regular basis, would they know that, you know what, this person worships the God of heaven? And it's a great thing just to be able to, you know, praise God for different things as they come up in our life and praise God before others. You know, it isn't just on Sunday morning when we come and have a worship service that we are to bring worship to the Lamb that was slain. No, it's to be in our day-to-day lives. And that happens through the words we speak and through our actions, through the lives we live. Also, we see that of what He is worthy. He is worthy of our love. He is worthy of our love. We see back in chapter 2 of Revelation, the Word of God here, Jesus confronts the church of Ephesus because they had left their first love. You know what? There's such a joy in that new relationship, that new salvation that's found in Jesus Christ. And it's a great joy. And there's a natural outflow of love from that. But that love should be something that continues to grow as we realize more and more that Jesus Christ is worthy of our love. And it's a sad thing when other things begin to take away our love for Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of our highest love. You know, if we're giving our love to the things of this world, we are robbing what is due Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Now, obviously, we love other people and there's other kinds of love, but the highest love, the love that captivates our life, belongs to Jesus Christ alone. And whether it be money or sports or the lifestyle that you want to live, if that's what is taking away your love from Jesus Christ, you need to repent of that tonight and recognize that Jesus Christ alone is worthy of your love. We see that Jesus Christ is worthy of our life. We read 1 Corinthians 6:20 earlier. It says, "Ye are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your soul and your body, which are God's." You know what? Our life doesn't belong to us. We are bought with a price. We need to understand, recognize the fact that our ownership belongs to Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to us. It's not up to us to decide what we're going to use our life for or what we want to pursue in life or what we want to do. That's for Jesus to decide because He is the owner. He is the one who has bought us. We also see that in Romans 12:1, the reasonable service that comes forth out of recognition that we belong to Jesus Christ. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know what? It's only reasonable that we would give our lives to the person who has redeemed us, who has bought us with His own blood. So would we recognize tonight that Jesus Christ alone is worthy of our life? Also, He's worthy of our service. We see here that the angels and the elders and those there in heaven, their main focus is serving around the throne. And that's because they recognize there in heaven, you know, the reality is clear of who deserves their service, of who is the one that is worthy of their all. You know what? The list could go on and on here as well of what Jesus Christ is worthy of. But could I summarize in this? Jesus Christ is worthy of our all. Jesus Christ is worthy of our all. Nothing less. Nothing less than our all. You know what? We don't like to hear that sometimes because that sounds like it can hurt sometimes. When Jesus Christ is worthy of our all, we're afraid of what He might ask of us. We are afraid of what he might want us to give. We're afraid of what he might want us to do. But could we come to that sweet realization tonight that Jesus Christ alone is worthy of our all? He deserves it. And he loves us. And he is the great, the best, most loving master we could ever have. And out of a heart, a full surrender and submission, tonight would we surrender to the one who alone is worthy, Jesus Christ. I don't know what that may mean for each individual here tonight. But perhaps the Holy Spirit is pricking in a specific way that you know you have been holding back part of your all from him. And if that's so, tonight, would you surrender that back to who it rightly belongs to? Would you give your all to Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have redeemed us with your blood, that you alone are worthy of our all. Lord, I pray that you would help me and each individual here tonight, Lord, to truly give you our all, to be surrendered to you alone and not to be distracted by the things of this world or other pursuits that would take away from our one true master, you. And Lord, would the worthiness of Jesus Christ captivate each soul here tonight? And would that, your Holy Spirit, just move in specific ways in each of our lives and show us. And when there be a humble surrender to you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.